Hello and welcome back to the Long Two podcast. I'm Tims and I'm here alongside Barn. How are you, sir?
Hi, everyone. Yeah, all good, Tims. You too?
Yep, I've had a good week, but it's been, I think, a particularly exciting week for you because you've got a new member of the family on board.
Do indeed, Tims. And I don't need congratulating from anyone. It is a tiny little puppy. Nice little 8-week-old. So she's been getting me up at 5 a.m. Bonus of that is some of the games are still on at 5 a.m. So I caught an amazing fourth quarter of Nuggets Warriors last night, Tims. It was great. Well, this morning, I should say.
Love that. Perks of getting a puppy. Everyone get a puppy, especially if you're in the UK, because it means you have an excuse to watch early morning basketball. But what have you been keeping an eye on this week, Ban?
Tims, usual for me, mate. Sad week for the Mavs. Nice that Luka's back, but Najee Marshall hasn't been playing. He played a few minutes the other night. I think we were playing the Jazz at that point, but he's got breathing problems of some sort, Tim. Don't know if you've read anything more about it. It's upper respiratory issues. There was a chance he was going to be back last night against the Grizzlies, but he didn't quite make it back. So we'll see what happens with him. But sad, because I was telling you last week how amazing he's been for us. He'd had one 20-point game in his career, I think, up until 4 games ago. But that's been slightly sad. Luke has made a good return for us, Tims. He's slotted in well. He hasn't taken too much away from anyone. Yeah, they've been my main watches this week, Tims. I've obviously been watching a lot more, but I won't bore you with it all at the very start. What have you been keeping an eye on, Tim?
Well, quickly, obviously, like you say, the Mavs had that game against the Grizzlies last night, and you came back, actually. You were down, I think, 15 in the fourth quarter to win.
With 10 minutes to go, Tims.
Down 15 in the fourth and came back to win to secure a place in the NBA Cup quarterfinals, right?
Wild card. We got the wild card somehow, Tims. So Luka got 37 last night, right?
Yeah.
He was our big performer by a mile. I wrote this down as I was keeping an eye on it. So Dinwiddie, he only had 16 points, but 9 of them were in the fourth. PJ, 18 points, but 10 of them were in the fourth.
Wow.
And Kyrie only had 10. He had a terrible game. But 4 of them came in crunch time, Tims. Last 10 minutes. It was great. So Luka didn't really perform. I think he had 4 of his 37 in the fourth. Maybe 6. But he kept us in it the whole time. He kept us within 15, basically. And then the guys went to work in the fourth. It was really nice to see.
Love that. And obviously, Luka, we discussed a few weeks ago how he was maybe having a slightly down year. But I think he's had 2 games back now and they've both been 35 plus point games. So he looks back to his best, which is obviously, I'm sure you're very relieved to see that.
Sure am, Tims. And everyone's been slating him for his defense, me included. But when you have such a load on offense, I think you can be forgiven slightly for being slightly lackluster. But he had 4 steals last night, Tims, against the Grizzlies. It was great.
There you go. Two-way Doncic is here. He's arrived.
I wouldn't go that far yet, Tims. But
yeah, well, someone who is certainly two-way this year is our man, the great barrier thief, Dyson Daniels, Van. And I wanted to kick us off by just checking in on how he's done this week. We're obviously keeping a close eye on his steal count this year. So he had 3 steals, 2, and then 4 in his last 3 games. Those were against the Cavs, Hornets and Pelicans. So he's still keeping that average at 3 or just above 3 steals per game. So he's certainly still worthy of that nickname for now.
Very good. Very good, Tims.
So, I'm happy to see that. And among those results, as I mentioned, they beat the Cavaliers, the Hawks. But we did have that big rematch this week, Barn. The Cavs, the Celtics, V2. And I know you enjoyed that game this week.
Oh, Tims, I absolutely loved it. So I watched the whole fourth, plus all the highlights. Oh, it was just incredible, Tims. Did you catch any of it?
I watched the fourth quarter and the Cavs were on fire. I noted this morning, 43 points from the Cavs in the fourth quarter. And I think in crunch time particularly, that was basically Donovan Mitchell hitting everything.
Really silly threes going up. it was incredible. So the Cavs were down 5 with 3 minutes to go. And Donovan hit a massive, massive 3.
Yeah.
Just perfect timing. Drew Holiday got a little layup down the other end. And then Donovan hits another crazy 3 with 2 to go, kind of 30 seconds on. Peyton Pritchard, Tims, he was a strong standout performer for the Celtics in the fourth. Yeah. No one else was really going. I said Holiday made a layup, but kind of all he did. Mitchell turned him inside out for his third 3 in the last few minutes, about 10 seconds after that. Tim's ridiculous. One thing that did annoy me, watching the whole fourth quarter, must have taken me, like, 15 minutes for the last 30 seconds, Tim's. It was just a complete free throw off. And everyone was making them. Everyone was making them. Pritchard had to try and miss one in last 5 seconds or so, which he did, right? But his foot was over the line, so the free throw didn't count altogether. Cavs got possession. But he missed it absolutely perfectly and caught the rebound on the free throw line again. Oh, that was a real shame, because that could have sent it to OT.
Yeah.
That tied it up. No, that was good. But yeah, Donovan, 20 points in the fourth, Tims. And Evan Mobley, well, we've been raving about him all season. He was terrible offensively the whole game. 9 points, but 7 of them in the last 10 minutes of the game. You can't ask for more than that, really, if you're having a bad one, can you?
Absolutely not. And to be fair, it's a fairly similar story to the first matchup this season in Boston, because Donovan didn't have that many points going into the fourth there. I think he's probably got more points combined in the two fourth quarters of those two games than the rest of the six quarters combined. I mean, he's definitely taking over in the fourth, which is, I mean, why we had him mentioned in our MVP discussion last week, I think, Bam.
Yeah, no, agreed with you, Tibbs. Best player on the best team. And we had our question last week, sir, of who would have the better record coming into
podcast
today. Now, we're actually, for those who expect us to do it on a Thursday, we're actually doing it on a Wednesday today because we've got a busy schedule. Tim's is flying off to Mallorca tomorrow morning. So we are doing it on a Wednesday today. So I think, are they both playing tonight, Tim's?
They could be, but the Cavs are two games ahead. They're 19-3, Celtics 17-4. So the Cavs have their number covered.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing, amazing. We both said whoever wins that matchup will come out with the better record this week, Tim. So we were right.
We were. I mean, it's a theme that seems to be running quite vividly through our podcast these days, Bam. We seem to be right about most of our calls, but not sure that's true. But
yeah, we're going to go severely the other way. So no doubt about that.
We're bound to average out at some point. Yeah. But anyway, my Raptors, Bam, are 3-1 in the last week. We're playing well, and that has to be down to the return of our, according to his Instagram bio, 6'9 point guard, Scotty Barnes. He had his 35 points last night, career high, with 9 assists. He's been on fire. And I mean, we've played the Pelicans, who are awful. Then we played the Heat twice and the Pacers in that run. Pacers are not having a good year, by the way. But I'm really excited, actually, by what I've seen from the Raps over the last couple of weeks. Scotty looks brilliant. He was the best player on the court easily against the Pacers. RJ is still getting his volume, getting his touches as well. He had 29 in that game on an efficient 9 of 16. So yeah, Barn, I'm really excited about my Raps. And I actually think we're now the 11th seed in the East, closing in on the Pacers, the Nets, and I think we could have a little play-in opportunity coming quite shortly.
Imagine, Tim. Hey, you wrote yourself off for two games into this season of any chance of the play-in.
And we have Emmanuel Quickley to come back as well, and he'll be a big boost again. We've been without Grady Dick over the last week or so, but yeah, I'm really pleased with my Raps. And I do think, actually, the tank is officially, dare I say it, cancelled, and we're going for the play-in.
Wow.
So let's see how that progresses, but I'm very excited.
Yeah, good. As you should be, Sims, as you should be. No, Scotty's been absolutely incredible.
Really has.
And the Pacers have been crap, but Tyrese had a hell of a game last night, didn't he? He got 35 plus or something.
Yeah, I think he had definitely 30. He's had a down year compared to last year. He looked really promising last year.
He looked promising for the first half of last year. I thought he was hyped up a bit too much by the end of the season, because it was like no one had actually watched their second half of the season. He completely crumbled. But no, I think you've been great, Tims. And the Heat are no easy feat, even if they're having an off day. I mean, to win one, lose one against them back-to-back, I think that's great. No, happy for you, Tims. Happy for you.
Yeah, agree. And I do believe it was a fully star-studded Miami Heat. Yep, they had Butler, Bam, and Tyler Hero, the big three, all playing in that game. So, hey, I think the Raptors could be a little underrated watch this season. We're playing well, playing some exciting basketball. And that play-in, we're coming for it.
I'm glad you think so, Tims. I'm glad you're off the tank hype. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I think I'd gone a bit crazy with the tank, so it's good to be over that finally.
Yeah. Tim's big talking point this week in the media is LeBron's. He might be. I I have 19 written down, but I think I was might have been mid-game in the middle of the night when I wrote that. I think it might be up to 20 missed in a row now.
Yeah,
is that correct?
I think it's over 20 missed threes in a row for the King. Can you believe it?
Absolutely ridiculous. So this is obviously his most missed in a row ever, Tims, and it got me thinking, has anyone ever missed more in a row in their career, right? And you have people, there were people, I think Dwight Howard missed 28 in a row, but I didn't really want to count people like that because you know damn well they were they were probably all half-court heaves.
Yeah,
Dwight doesn't shoot threes at all. Zaza Pachulia had a great record of he missed 22 in a row, made one, then missed another 22 in a row. But again, he falls under the Dwight Howard the Dwight Howard umbrella. So, Tims, any guesses on one, how many? So I couldn't find a particular stat for this. I had to do a lot of digging to find this out. Any guesses on who it is, which is impossible, you'll never guess. Any guesses on how many?
Oh, I mean, to be honest, I didn't think about this. I saw the number over 23s in a row missed from LeBron. Obviously thought that's quite incredible, but that must be quite close to the record, I would say. I would guess 45 threes missed in a row, and I have no idea who's done it. I'll guess Draymond Green, but I don't
know. Tims, who's missing 45 in a row?
I mean, LeBron's not far away. He's a couple of games away, right?
If he's attempting 12 and a half or 13 a game, Tims, he's not.
Who holds the record, man? Give it to
25 in a row. So I thought it would be someone like James Harden because he once missed 16 in a game with the Rockets.
Yeah, of course.
So I thought all he had to do was miss, let's say, four in a row either side and he would get there. No, Grant Williams... Tims.
Grant Williams.
When he was drafted, he started his career 0 for 25 from three.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. And he's a fairly consistent three-point shooter now, right?
I know. And obviously, it was his. He created his own welcome to the league moment, didn't he?
Oh, that's so good. Well, LeBron's got a pretty nasty record coming his way if he doesn't make one pretty sharpish, I would say.
Sure does. Yeah, yeah. And we were saying how good his three-point shooting's been this season, Tim. I don't know what's happened, but I did see a quote from Bron post-game. He said, they've been working so hard on defense because that's where they had a few holes, JJ said. And everyone agreed. Bron wasn't saying, oh, coach did this, coach did that. He was saying, as a team, we had to work on our defense. And the offense just took a hit, he said. So now the offense needs some work and they need to balance each other out, which... Ah, fair play. It's honest. I like it.
Yep, agree. So his next game is in Miami, his old team, where he needs to hit a three for sure. And this is a funny record, by the way, because I watched the end of that Jazz game that the Lakers just won against that horrid Jazz team we've been talking about. But he had a three that literally rolled around the rim for a couple seconds before just popping out. And it's just so funny how that could have so easily gone in and this could not even be a stat, you know? Yeah. Millimeters. But I did also see a stat that LeBron has a plus minus of minus 83 this season so far. I think the worst on the Lakers. What'd you make of that?
Wow. That came out of nowhere, Tim. So I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting that at all.
No, neither was I.
I thought he'd be right up there. Yeah. God, don't know what to say to that, Tims.
I know. Shocks me as well. I'm trying to find how this compares to him over his career. Hopefully I'll do that by the end of the podcast and I can I can let you know. But for LeBron to have a minus, plus minus over the course of over 20 games is, quite shocking. For a team that have a positive record as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They have a positive record. Now I'm just looking back through their games, Tims. And I think you can work out why quite quickly. Because they've been winning games by less than 10, let's say.
Yeah.
They got blown out the other night by the Timberwolves by 29 points. Won by 1 against the Jazz. Lost by 8 against the Thunder. Oh, they won by 18 against the Spurs. But then they lost by 27 and 25, two games in a row.
Wow.
Tims, how does that compare to the rest of the Lakers? Because I wonder if any of them have a positive.
That is interesting. I'll look into it, Bon, and get back to you. But I think, that I saw that and I was shocked because it seems LeBron's having a good year.
I agree with you. Yeah, yeah. No, stats-wise, definitely.
Anyway, we don't like to dwell on the King doing badly, so
we'll move on. We can cut this part out.
Yeah, we'll cut this out.
We don't want anyone thinking of him in a bad light.
Let's move on to a new topic.
Oh, Tim's, the NBA Cup. So now we finally know how it works.
Absolutely.
So top team from every group goes through, and then you get one wild card from each conference, which is cool. I like it. And it's all done on point differential, which means that every team has to try until the final whistle, which is great as well.
Yeah, I saw one clip actually of the Celtics. I think they're up about 25 and there was 1.6 seconds left. Joe Mazzulla called a timeout and I think it was Sam Hauser hit a fadeaway three from the corner to open up the lead, extra 3 points, which was just comical to see despite them being up 30.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough. The Celtics don't make the final bracket barn.
Yeah, crazy. No Celtics, no Cavs. And whose fault is that, Tims? It's the Hawks.
It's the Atlanta Hawks and our guy, the Great Barrier Thief.
But, so good.
But anyway, the bracket is Barnes. So your Mavericks go against the OKC Thunder, who are the one seed from the West. Then we have the Rockets versus the Warriors in the other matchup on the West. And then heading to the East, it's the Milwaukee Bucks, the team that started the season 2-8. I think they have a flawless record so far in the NBA Cup, 4-0. They're the one seed. They're going against the Magic. But that'll be a great game, actually. And then we have the Knicks against the Hawks, who obviously, like we said, knocked out both the Cavs and the Celtics. So who do you fancy to win, Bam? How do you see this going?
Tim's, well, as we did our little cup predictions last week, I had the Hawks, I don't think the Hawks will win. I had the Bucks at the top of the tower, Tim's. Yep. I had the Bucks at the top of the tower. They were just putting their games together. They're currently on a 7-game win streak. Amazing. Obviously starting terribly. But in that win streak, they played a few crap teams, to be honest, but they beat the Rockets, which is a no mean feat, obviously. Bucks Magic, that'll be the best game in the East. I love Trey going back to MSG to cause a bit of trouble.
Oh, that's going to be a great matchup, isn't it?
Yeah, it really will be. It really will be. And the Hawks, they're so unpredictable. We'll touch on them after the cup talk. Tims, I would obviously love my Mavs to win, but I can't go against myself and not take the Bucks. Mavs Thunder and Warriors Rockets, both absolutely Hollywood matchups. I think every single game will be amazing. So I'm actually looking forward to all four games.
I'm really looking forward to it as well. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. And we only have less than a week to wait, Barn. Tuesday, December the 10th, and Wednesday, December the 11th, we'll have all those quarterfinals played. And then that weekend, we have the semifinals in Vegas. So we can discuss how they'll go on next week's podcast. But I'm so excited to see how this goes. Actually, we have to say, the introduction of the NBA Cup or in-season tournament, as it was called last year, I think it's been a revelation. It's been so good, right? Because it adds this competitive nature to, I mean, what would we be talking about 3 seasons ago at this point in the season?
But Tims, who do you think is actually going to win the Cup? I can't remember who you said last week.
I had the Golden State Warriors, who
did you?
Lost last night to the Denver Nuggets. They were up in the fourth quarter, which I was surprised about. I thought they'd lose that game, but they looked for a long time like they could win it, despite the late surge by the Nuggets, which puts them at the 3 seed against the Houston Rockets, a team they've got a lot of recent history with. And I'll stick with the Golden State Warriors. I just feel like LeBron got his last year, like I said to you last week, and Steph, it just feels like he will have an NBA Cup on his resume, and it's the type of thing a player like Steph can just get himself motivated for and pull out some crazy performances over a single game series. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I agree.
I'll go with the Warriors. But, Barn, I know you watched the finish of that game last night. So why don't you tell me exactly what you saw, and maybe you think it's an awful shout from me.
Well, Tims, I don't think it's an awful shout. Obviously, someone like Curry can turn it on at any point. So your insight is amazing. But I can't see it from last night, Tims. So when I turned the TV on, it was probably bang on 5 a.m. our time. Well, my time. You're in Spain at the moment, so it's 6 a.m. your time. No. And it was 10 minutes to go in the fourth. Maybe slightly less. The Warriors had just capped off a 16-0 run, ending the third into the fourth, up 109-98.
Oh,
so, nice little lead. But Tims, Jokic. What a player, man. So he was absolutely unreal. Obviously, they're not in the NBA Cup. Tim's, one of my notes from the game this morning, Jokic, way too good for anyone on the Warriors. He really was. Their defense was amazing. Christian Brown was throwing everything at them. What the Warriors, Tim's, they could not stop fouling at the rim. That was one of their major issues in the fourth. Right. Looney fouled out late in. It wasn't just Jokic they were fouling. That's the issue. Obviously, sometimes it is better to foul Jokic than to let him go at you, because that, I don't know what that man's percentage is in and around the rim, but it must be ridiculous, because he was just making everything. But no, they were fouling Gordon, Murray, Christian Brown. They just couldn't do anything about the Nuggets going down the lane. So we'll see how that works for them against the Rockets, Tims. But when you have a man like Sengun in there, I know he's young, but he's literally poised to be a Jokic, DeMontis type player, I think, isn't he?
For sure.
Yeah, he really is. Jokic's defense was amazing as well, Tims. Honestly, the Warriors, Steph was chucking up shots like usual, and they weren't falling. That was their issue. They Steph couldn't make going into it. The Nuggets went on a 10-0 run, kind of 3 or 4 minutes after the Warriors had finished their 16-0.
Yeah.
Curry did have a few. When he attacked the rim, Tims, nothing the Nuggets could do about that. That was some really nice, like Steph Curry of old. He was looking like Kyrie at the rim. It was really great, really great finishing there. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But he was throwing up a few too many, which obviously he can do. He's Steph Curry. They just weren't falling.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the box score now. Steph went 4 of 15 from 3.
Okay.
Not his best shooting night. Yeah. And like you say, the Nuggets shot 35 free throws in the entire game. That is crazy numbers. But what I would say is there was no Draymond Green last night, as far as I can see, for the Warriors. So maybe he comes back in for that Rockets game and and can help on the defensive end, because without him they're liable defensively, aren't they? I just feel like Steph's gonna have a crazy game, and like when you think back to the Olympics this year, as recently as that, like he can just turn it on, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. Like you say, Jokic can as well, but I've just got a feeling, Barn. Maybe the maths don't add up for the Warriors to win it, but I've just got a sneaky feeling.
I like you. No, Tims, I like your feeling. I like your feeling. Yeah. They're going against a really dangerous Houston Rockets team. But like we said, Tims, it's just going to be such a great game, isn't it?
It really is. Can't wait for it. But the Warriors do go in on now a 5-game losing streak. So they'll have to turn that around. But we mentioned the Rockets, Barn. They've been unreal. And I don't think anyone would have called this, that they'd be the 2 seed, 15-7 right now in the West. What have you made of their starts to the season?
Not a chance anyone thought that, Tim. Absolutely not a chance. Their season's just been unbelievable. How many? Van Fleet, I can't remember who they were playing last night, but I saw Van Fleet had 39 or something. He was obviously probably sad talking about him, Tim, because he was great for you for a few years. But they have all the pieces, Tims. They literally have all the pieces. So Ime Udoka has just put them together in the perfect way. He's letting everyone grow. And how young is that team, Tims? They are going to be good for years to come. I'm literally just typing it in now. I was thinking of their players in my head. And honestly, I can't think of a player over 30.
Yeah.
I really can't. Not even over 25.
Yeah. Apart from Van Vliet, who's the veteran of the team.
Over 30, Tims.
How old is he? He's got to be quite old, right?
Right, I'm pulling it up now, sir. I'm pulling it up now. But no, Tims, the Rockets absolutely love it. I was talking about Sengun. I thought he was so underrated last season. He was coming through, putting up stats like there was no tomorrow. And when you see him on the floor, he is that guy. He's a Jokic who the offense, he's a big, but the offense can run through him. Absolutely. He's got great vision. He's got great everything. Dylan Brooks as well, Tims. I was not a fan of his. I'm not even sure if Grizzlies fans were fans of his when he was on the Grizzlies. But he's been putting up great numbers, really efficient as well. And we know he's a great defender. But yeah, he's been really strong for them, really strong for them. And the rest of they've got who I put in one of the most improved players teams in Amen Thompson, who's coming through. So their young core is just amazing. So I've finally got them up, Tims.
Go on.
I was going to tell you, God, everyone's 22. That's games played.
literally every player is 22.
Every player is 22. Who is over 30? Fred Van Fleet, Tims, is bang on 30.
Yeah.
Stephen Adams, who's only played 11 games this season, is 31. And that's it. That is absolutely it.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks is 29. The rest are... Tari Eason is 23. Otherwise, yeah. Where are we? Amen Thompson, 22. We were talking about how good he's been last week.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tims, it's just disappeared. Think Sengun's 23. No, but they... Tims, they are showing why they have the potential to do amazing things. Whether that happens for them this year, we've all seen how it works out with these amazing regular season young teams who get bounced in the first or second round just through lack of experience. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're young. No one's going to tell you off for experiencing the playoffs and getting a little taste for what's to come. Yeah, oh, I think they'll be good for years to come, Tims. What's your take on them? Have you watched much of them?
I have. I've been enjoying watching them a lot. And like you say, they've got this incredible young core. I think it's too early for them to be a true contender this year. I think they'll definitely make the playoffs and it'll be interesting to see how they get on there. And the thing that strikes me about this team, they have, like you say, so much young talent. But, you know, one night, Freddie VanVleet scores 38. Like you said, he had that big game. The next night, he scores 13. And Dylan Brooks goes over 11 from the field, scores 0 points. But then Jalen Green will step up and he scored 41 in the win against the 76ers this week. You know, it's always someone different for them. One night, Jalen Green goes off. Then maybe it's Sengun, who seems to be maybe their most consistent offensive player, I would say for sure. But then Jabari Smith might have a big game. And it's easy to forget Barn. They have Reed Shepherd, the number 3 pick from this year's draft, who's playing 5 to 10 minutes every game. He can't get a look in because their backcourt is so stacked with talent. Yeah. So I'm also keen to see him get a few more minutes. But yeah, they have such a wealth of young talent. And I think my favourite players, maybe barring Sengun, who's just awesome to watch on this team, are... here's a new nickname for you, Barn, that I heard from the Rockets commentators. The Terror Twins in Tari Eason and Amen Thompson coming off the bench and locking down on defense. So Tari Eason and Amen Thompson. I mean, yeah, I in my head, I thought the Rockets were a fairly poor defensive team. But with the Terror Twins, alongside Alfred Sengun, who Barn, he's an improved defensive player this year, I think for sure. He's one of, I saw a stat this week, can't quite remember it, but he was one of the top centers defensively this season. So yeah, I mean they seem to have a lot going for them right now.
Yeah, no, they really do, Tim. So you were talking about the Terror Twins. That's such a good nickname. Yeah. And rightly so. We were talking about both of them last week for most improved candidates, weren't we?
Yes.
They're really coming through. And yeah, Tim, you were saying how it's every night someone different is going off.
Yeah.
And you completely see that in their stats. I've got them up here. No one is averaging over 20 points.
Absolutely. Yeah, incredible. No.
Jalen Green's averaging the most with 19.3, Sengun with 19, Van Fleet 16. Otherwise, everyone's under 12. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks, he went off for 35 one game this season, I think, and he's averaging bloody 12 points.
Yeah.
Tims, it's everyone pitching in thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah, but what I would say about this, is this good to have for a contending team to not have that one player they know they're going to? I mean, I would say that's Alfred Sengun right now, right? But he's obviously getting quite a few assists as well from that center point, maybe passing it out. But they don't have that Steph Curry or James Harden who you know is getting the ball or all the attention from the defensive end. Is that going to hurt them right now? Do they need one of these players to emerge?
Yeah, do they, Tim, to drag the defense in and free up players and get them hot in certain games? If they want to go far in the playoffs, everyone is going to need to play their best every single night. We can't have games of Brooks going 0 for 11 from the field, but Jalen Green goes for 30. Yeah, great question, Tim. So I'm trying to think back to championship or playoff contending teams who haven't had those standout players. My mind thinks back to the 2014-15 Atlanta Hawks, who did they have on there? Millsap, Al Horford, Kyle Korver, Jeff Teague.
Yeah.
They did not have one standout superstar. And the only reason they lost was the King. The same as lots of people. Yeah. But the 2014-15 Atlanta Hawks and 13-14, they had a few really good years of those guys being the solid players. But they were playing like really good every night, weren't they, those guys? So they either need someone to drag the defense in to take a bit of attention away from the others, or they all need to improve, Tim's, night in, night out. They're obviously playing amazing, but they're filling in each other's I'm trying to not say holes here. I can't think of another word.
I was going to try and help you, but then I thought I'd see if you were going to say it. But I know what you mean. That they need to be more consistent is what I feel, to like on an individual basis rather than as a team, to be a true contending team. And like you say, that will come with time. They're all pretty much in their early 20s, and their best players are in their early 20s, and that's what's most exciting about this Rockets team for sure.
Yeah, really is, Tim. The one downside, so we got the Magic next year, who they pay barely anything in contracts at the moment, but they've given Franz close to a max, or maybe even a max. They've given Jalen Suggs a max. So you think if the Rockets continue playing how they're playing, not sure if they're going to be able to keep everyone come the end of rookie contracts. So we'll see what happens. But hope, fingers crossed, everyone takes a slight hit for the team and they try and stay together.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait for that matchup against Golden State in the NBA Cup. But also, Barm, what I've seen this week is that the Pelicans waived Elfrid Payton, who had 21 assists, 14 points in that incredible game. I think the most assists, bar Trae Young, who had that 22 assist game, of anyone in any game so far this season. And then they scored 28 points in a full half of basketball against the New York Knicks. So that was thoroughly deserved from the Pelicans from my point of view.
It really was, Tim. So you were telling me about Elfrid Payton last week, and I don't get it. Why waive him? Also, he's been a standout player since he's been back. I'm just not too sure what's going on in their heads. Do you think they're going for too much of a tank, Tim's? Or do you think that was always in their head, they were going to have him and then waive him?
I think it was in their head, and DeJounte Murray is now back from injury, who's not playing brilliantly. And they've waived him because he was just a stand-in replacement for DeJounte while he was injured. But if someone scores 14, 21 assists against the Indiana Pacers, I mean, you can't. That should be illegal, right? You're not allowed to waive someone a week later who's put up 21 assists in one game, surely.
Really silly, really silly. You're right. There should be a rule against that, Tim.
Yeah. I agree, actually. I agree. If you hit a certain milestone in any game, you're not allowed to be waived for at least another few weeks.
Yeah, no, I don't get it. And also, because he's playing so well, why not keep him as DeJounte's backup?
I know.
It makes no sense. Makes absolutely no sense. But yeah, we're not NBA GMs, Tim, so it's one of those things, isn't it? But no, I'm just sad for him, man. It was really nice to see him back.
It was. And also, Barm, what I've seen this week, Victor Wembanyama. And we mentioned him. You mentioned him among your most improved players in last week's podcast.
A rogue one.
And what he certainly is most improved from the start of this season to now. I mean, his first 12 games, right? 22 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. In his last 8 games, 31 points, 11 rebounds, 4.5 assists. He's shooting 43% on threes.
What?
Taking 12 attempts per game in his last 8. I mean, that's absurd. He's shooting threes at an incredible volume and rate right now. And we're seeing, I think, what could be the future MVP of the league and what he'll look like on a more consistent basis pretty soon.
Yeah, Tim's, I'm absolutely amazed that he is shooting that from three, because he didn't score in the first half versus the Suns the other night. He was missing three after three.
Yeah.
So that just shows how good he's been other than that half of basketball, basically. No, he's been ridiculous, Tim's. He had a huge triple-double against the Kings in a tight win, 34, 14 and 11.
Yeah.
And what he gives on both ends, he has a league low, league high or low, I don't know which one you'd say it actually. League low percentage players are shooting when guarded by him with 38.8%.
Yeah.
Which is shit, obviously, that field goal average. And he's a good perimeter defender as well, Tims, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, that's why he's also our leading, and I think everyone's leading contender for Defensive Player of the Year, because he has it all with that insane 8-foot wingspan or whatever it is. But yeah. You mentioned that 34-point triple-double. Can you name the other two players under 20 who, before turning 21, have recorded a 34 trip-dub?
Well, there surely is only two options here. Is it Bron and Luka Doncic?
Absolutely nailed it, Barn. Trivia on fire for a second week in a row.
Thank you, sir.
But Victor joins that list as the third player with a 34-point triple-double before turning 21. Yeah, I mean, this guy is the future of the league, obviously.
Yeah.
Assuming he can stay healthy.
Yeah, that's the trouble, Tim's, mate, when you're that tall. League history tells you that when you're that tall, you have a pretty high likelihood of injury. So we will be crossing our fingers until the moment that boy is out of the league that he does not get injured. Because exactly, Tim's, if he stays, he's going to have a Hall of Fame career. He's going to be an MVP. There's just no doubt about it if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
No, he's going to be really fun to watch. Now, I think, Tim's, until you tell me his three-point percentage, I'm obviously not checking my facts enough, then I was going to tell you he needs to attack the bloody rim more. He's chucking. All I was looking at was his 3 points attempted. I hadn't seen his actual percentage since the last couple of weeks of the season. He doesn't have to attack the rim more. If you're shooting at that rate from three, then good on him. Good on him.
Absolutely. And you mentioned MVPs. We obviously have Jokic in our first spot right now. But, Barn, there's been a few surges in the last week. I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo has been, like you say, playing out of his mind for the red-hot Milwaukee Bucks. But also, a former MVP of the league, James Harden, has been on fire for the Clippers. Now, I'm not saying he's in that MVP discussion again this year, but he is. I mean, it's throwback Harden. He was playing like this for the Rockets in the late 2010s. And then since then, he's been playing on the Nets with KD and Kyrie, and he hasn't been that pure alpha scorer like he has been this season on the Clippers. And he just slots back into that role, picks up 25 points, 10 assists a night, step back threes. He's shooting the lights out from three as well. I mean, it's crazy to see, right?
Tim's, he's been so good, hasn't he? He's been so good. Dare to say, is Harden in the running for most improved? wouldn't that be hilarious? No, Harden he's been playing a lot of minutes, Tims, but that just shows how available and fit he is. I don't think there's any issue with that. No, like you say, super efficient. The Clips, they went on a little five game win streak. They've won 8 of the last 10.
Yeah.
I don't know where that puts them in the standings, Tims.
The West changes every day.
The West changes every season. Exactly. It's so tight there. It's so tight. I think they're fourth or fifth or something, which in such a good West is amazing for the Clips. It's great to see him happy, Tims. When that guy's happy, then he plays so much better. So much better. No, I'm glad you mentioned him, Tims, because he's been great. Norm, your favourite on the Clippers as
Stormin
well.
Norman Powell.
Stormin' Norm. He's had a great couple of games in his return, hasn't he? 28 and 30. Been really nice to see.
He looks brilliant.
And they bounce off each other, Tim. Obviously, when Harden's on, he takes a lot of attention from the defense, which opens Norm up. Same again. When Norm's playing, it opens up the floor for Harden as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, like you said, it's been great to see James Harden playing like this again. I think he hit a step back midi to secure the win against the Denver Nuggets this week, and then we saw the celebration. Barney was
throwing the pot.
He's cooking. I mean, we haven't seen that for a long time from Harden. I enjoyed seeing that very much.
Yeah, me too. That shows you he's back to best in his mind, Tim's, I think, isn't he? That was so good. And did you see his really sheepish post-game after as well? He was kind of like, oh no, don't mention that. He was smuggling his little head off.
He's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. And on that Clippers team as well, Tim, this also helps Harden and Norm's cases. Zubac's 4 offensive rebounds a game. Did you see that? He's averaging 4 offensive rebounds a game. Haven't done any fact-checking. That must be a league high, mustn't it?
It's got to be close. I think my guy Jakob Poeltl could be up there as well. But I think for rebounds, Zubac is definitely up there. I think also for double-doubles, he's leading the season. His rebound rate this season overall has been fantastic, like you say.
No, really good, Tim's really good. He attacks in the paint, definitely, but it then means he can chuck it out to the guys to hit a nice knockdown 3.
Exactly.
Tim, I have a fun fact for you this week.
Oh, I look forward to this.
Who do you think has the longest active streak of never making the playoffs? So they've never made the playoffs and they've been in the league for the longest time.
Oh.
He's an all-star. Don't know how many times he's been an all-star, actually.
Oh, what a question. I want to get this right, so I'm thinking about it. Never made the playoffs at all.
Never made the playoffs at all. I'm just going to bring him up on basketball reference, Tim, so I can give you a few more clues.
Yeah, please, because I'm struggling right now. Do you know how long the streak is?
I do. Well, it's however long he's been in the league, actually, isn't it? I didn't actually write how long it's down. He was drafted in 2017-18.
Oh, okay.
He's actually only one-time All-Star, 22-23. Career averages of 19, 6.5 and 2.
Oh, I'm really struggling, Van.
I'm going to keep coming with clues, but I thought you might have a guess. Oh, Tim's, he won Most Improved Player the year he was an All-Star, 22-23.
Okay.
He averaged 25 and a half points that season.
25 and a half points in a single season.
Correct. It was his first year on the Utah Jazz. That's a big one.
Oh, that is a big one, but my mind's gone blank and I can't think. Is it? go on, tell me who it is, Bunt.
It's Lauri Markkanen, Tibbs.
Is it really?
Yeah, he's never made the playoffs.
Of course.
I thought he might have done in his first season with the Jazz. They must have just missed out.
That's crazy.
I know.
Yeah, and I'm looking now. He's a starter on that All-Star team as well that season. Yeah. So he had a big, big year.
He was great.
That's crazy. I would have thought he... I mean, when he was drafted, who did he play for when he drafted? He was drafted.
Played for the Bulls, Tim. So he got drafted by the Bulls.
That's right.
Cleveland briefly. Hang on, let me. I do have it up here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I was on Cleveland for a season in between the Bulls and the Jazz.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, none of those Chicago teams were that good, were they? You're right.
No, none of the Chicago teams were good. But I thought when he, I know that. The Jazz traded away everything. The Jazz traded away Donovan and Rudy same year, but they got a lot in return, like Sexton and Lauri Markkanen. I really thought they made the playoffs as like an 8 seed team.
No, of course,
isn't it?
Of course, and he was obviously traded for Donovan. But in my head, there was some overlap there with Lauri coming to Utah before they became really bad and traded everything away. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy. What have you made of Markkanen this season? He's not kicked on really, has he? From that.
Tim's, what do you do on the team that bad though? you're right. He hasn't had any. He hasn't shown anything much really. His average is down from last season, but I mean, I'm not sure we should judge a player on that, Tim's. I really don't. Also, I had a funny thought. What if Markkanen is just, he's not that bothered this season either because he wants his stock to go down. So rather than being a piece that goes to, rather than being a good piece that goes to a big team, sorry, a really good piece that goes to a crap team in exchange for more pieces, if that makes sense.
Yep.
What if he was just one tiny piece in exchange for the Jazz getting like a star, let's say? Do you know what I mean?
No, 100%. He doesn't want the team to lose their star while training for him.
Yeah, exactly. He wants to go onto a good team rather than coming onto a crap team like last time.
And we've given the Jazz a lot of slander on this podcast, I feel like, Barn.
They're four of 17
right now. But I have to say that the Washington Wizards, we haven't really spoken about them. I think for fear of what it will do to us, because they are horrendous. They are a horrible, horrible team. I think 2 of 17 right now. And the craziest thing about this is, I think we sent this stat to each other in the week, but the Atlanta Hawks are the only team to lose to the Wizards this week, while being, who are the worst team in the league, while being the only team to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers twice this season, who are the best team in the league. I mean, the NBA regular season, that just sums up how weird it is for me, right?
Yeah.
It's just, how do you predict, or how do you come up with these results? It's crazy.
I know. Tim, they lost to the Wizards back-to-back as well. They've lost two straight games against them. And yeah, then they beat the Cavs back-to-back. I just don't get it, but it shows how... I think you said it to me when I said how much I like Trae Young, how streaky Trae Young is, and when he's the go-to person on the team, do you know what I mean? Then if he's not on, but you got all the guys coming through, Jalen Johnson and Dyson Daniels. I'm not sure how you can be the only team to lose to a team that bad.
No, I've no idea either.
Crazy, absolutely.
No idea either. I'm just checking now though. Trae Young was 2 of 15 in one of those Wizards losses, but our guy, the Great Barrier Thief, did get his 3 steals in that game. So
that's what we liked him.
Certainly wasn't his fault.
Yeah. Now, one player on the Wizards that intrigues me slightly, Tim's, is Jonas Valanciunas, because I think the Lakers could trade for him. I don't think they'd have to give much up, because also the Lakers don't have much to give.
Yeah.
Without making themselves a non-contender. People might even laugh at me for calling them a contender this season, but you got LeBron and AD, immediately makes you a contender. And I'm sure you agree with that opinion, Sims.
Oh, of course.
But yeah, Valanciunas intrigues me because he's one of the only players, one of the only older players on that team with anything still left in him. No one wants Jordan Poole or bloody Kuzma. They're like toxic waste at the moment. You bring them in and you basically start losing a billion games. But we shall. We'll see what happens with that. But I'm very intrigued as to whether he's on the Lakers' radar. He must be.
I think he 100% is. And I think you mentioned Kuzma and Poole. Like you say, no one really wants them. their value has dropped massively in the last few years. But what the Lakers are craving, I think, is a big man, right? A big man to put next to AD, or to put in when AD goes out the game. Like, even just to be a big body. And that's what Valanciunas is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to get the touches he used to get on his old teams. He was on my Raptors for a while. Obviously, he obviously had quite a few post plays back in the 2014-15 area. We just posted him up a couple of times a game, and that was great. But but I don't think the Lakers will be doing that particularly often. But what he will be is a big body to go down there, grab rebounds, and have some defensive presence. I completely agree with you on that take, Barn.
Yeah. Nice, Tims. Nice. Tims, I got another question for you, sir.
Go on.
Who has the longest single-season losing streak in NBA history?
Team.
Which team?
I'll go with New Orleans. They had some pretty bad teams.
Some terrible teams, actually, yeah. Tims, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's way more recent than you think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Go on.
It was last season, Tims. It was the Detroit Pistons.
Detroit Pistons,
season.
Of course.
28 straight games. Joint with the joint with Philly in 2015-16.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Isn't that crazy? No, I was looking at the Wizards, the Wizards win-loss, and I thought, God, they must be getting close.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting reasonably close, but no, absolutely nowhere near what's needed.
Yeah.
And the Pistons, yeah, they've been showing up a bit this season. Cade's had a little bit more help, more to do. I haven't actually minded watching them too much. They're still obviously nowhere near playoff contention.
Yeah.
And if they make the play-in, we know they're going to get bounced type thing.
Yeah.
But no issue with that. They've improved. That's all you can ask for, isn't it?
They're getting better. 14
they are on the season, Tim.
Yeah, and they actually had the chance of making the NBA Cup Finals if they beat Milwaukee last night, but I think they got blown out quite convincingly. But like you say, Tobias Harris on the team, Tim Hardaway Jr., your old guy, Malik Beasley as well. They've added some pieces just for some depth as well. But Cade is still the guy there, and he needs more help if they're going to have any chance of being a playoff contending team, like you say. But
yes, sir.
If my Raptors do stay healthy and we finish behind the Pistons this season, I will be very disappointed. Let's put it at that, because I did watch one game this season, one final few minutes from a Pistons point of view, and they executed everything so horribly, fumbling every pass, it was turnovers galore, and I just thought, here we go again. It was like watching, like you say, that huge win streak from last season. And also, touching on that, the funny thing about that is, do you remember Kuzma? I think he tweeted that no one wants to be that team to lose to the Pistons. So, you know, the Pistons lost so much that every game for the other team became like an NBA Finals playoff match, you know? It's funny how the tables have now turned, obviously, and the Wizards are quickly becoming that team.
Yeah, not quick, Tims. They are definitely that team.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Really funny. Really funny. And they deserve to be as well, Tims. I've never not been a fan of Kuz, actually, until like last season, probably. Jordan Poole, again, he's one of those players everyone hates, and kind of for good reason. He just seems like a bit of an arsehole, don't you think?
I mean, on the Warriors, he was awesome.
Yeah, he was awesome, man. But was he ever likable?
I don't know about likable, but he took some crazy shots. He obviously had the Draymond Green ordeal with him.
Yeah.
Green hitting him in training, whatever happened there. But I mean, him and Kuzma, they play with zero care in the world, it seems. You know, they just go out there and shoot from where they want on a nightly basis, and if it goes in, great. If not,
exactly. It's like they're playing back at school. There's just absolutely nothing in their minds. They're not bothered about how the team does. They're just bothered about getting a few shots up and having a bit of fun.
Yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it? It does seem that way.
Yeah, it can't be fun losing that many games though, Tibbs, I have to say.
No, not at all.
I'll tell you who has been impressing me, Tibbs, who I've been slating this season, is the New York Knicks. I'm coming around to the fact that they're actually a really, really bloody good team.
they've
been on great form. Cat, offensively, that man, you just can't really guard him.
No.
He's got such an arsenal. When he's on, Tim, when he's got such an arsenal that he can give to you. Hartenstein been doing crazy things too. Hang on. Tims, does Hartenstein play for the Knicks?
I was going to say, I'm not actually sure he does.
Neither am I. He's been in my head. I was watching a game the other night.
He's on the Thunder. He's on the Thunder, of course.
He's on the Thunder. There we go. Right, well, on another note, Hartenstein's been playing great. He used to play for the Knicks.
Yeah, he did.
That's why he was in my head as a Knicks player, yeah.
Yeah.
No, Brunson's been going off like crazy, Tims. Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart. They're great defensively, they're great offensively. They're going to be a real contender in the East, I think, Tims. So they're going to give the big boys really good games in the playoffs. I can see it.
Barn, you've changed your tune from a couple of weeks ago, when it did take some coming around, didn't it? But you're there eventually. I mean, their starting five, I've said it before, I think is potentially the best in the league in terms of depth. Josh Hart, Bridges and Anunoby next to Brunson and Towns, who the big two offensive weapons, is just unbelievable. We know Towns is a liability guarding the paint, but you can't have everything. Josh Hart, I mean, you would probably say he's the fifth option offensively out of those five. He had a triple-double last night, Barn. I mean, he does everything on the court.
Amazing.
He's awesome. Mikal Bridges finally is starting to find his stroke from three. He's shooting now 33% on the year. I think he was over 40 last year. No, he was 37. Yeah, yeah. But finally, he's starting to come back to his averages. I think he had a big 30-point game in the past week. But yeah, they're a great team. They're a really great team. I wouldn't have them in the Boston Celtics bracket for sure. But after that, maybe I'd have them closely following the Cavs with the Magic in the East. You know, they're right up there as a top four contender.
Yeah, yeah. I'm completely with you on that, Tim. I think they'll make games fun in the playoffs against teams like the Celtics, let's say. But let's see it towards the end of the season, Tim. I mean, look how far I've come round in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean,
I was the biggest Knicks hater on earth. I thought Cat was terrible.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, Barn, let's do it right now. We have the Boston Celtics. Yes, actually, sure. I'll do it in order of record. We have the Cavs and then the Celtics, Magic, Knicks, and now the Bucks have risen to the fifth spot in the East. How would you rank them right now in terms of chances in the playoffs?
In terms of chances in the playoffs? Oh. Yep. Oh, it all depends who plays who. Oh,
I mean, the Celtics are one, right?
The Celtics...
Oh, maybe not. Tim's,
honestly, mate, watching the Cavs versus Celtics...
Wow.
Donovan was really taking over. No, the Celtics do have to be one, you're right. God. Let me put it in the middle here.
It's tricky though, isn't it?
It's really tricky, mate. Really tricky. I think the Cavs have to be two, absolutely, at the moment.
Yeah.
They really have to be two. This one, it gets really tough. The Magic are without... Tims, dare I say it? I think the Magic, by the end of the season, I think they would have to be three. I mean, Tims, they're without their best player. Have been for most of the season so far. And they're third in the East, 15-8.
Yeah.
I think they have to be three. And I think the Bucks have to be four and the Knicks have to be five.
Okay. That's interesting.
It's a real toss-up for me in between the Magic and the Bucks, to be honest with you. I think the Bucks have found their form and now they're absolutely fucking going for it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think it's a real toss-up between the Bucks and the Magic at three. The only thing tipping the Magic over the edge for me is the lack of Banchero. And when he's back, bloody hell, we know what he can do on the floor.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
But, Barn, I've got a point for you. Let me know what you make of this.
No.
Do you think the Magic are better without Banchero as a team? Not obviously on an individual basis, but are they better as a team without him?
What? Do you mean if Banchero never came back, would they have a better chance in the playoffs than without him? Than if he was there?
I suppose I do mean that, yeah.
I suppose you do.
Yeah.
No, Tims.
No.
Banchero is... how to describe him? He's like a slowed-down version of Luka.
Yeah.
I would say. He's got everything. He's a great defender as well, Tims. I think he's one of the most underrated players on the entire planet.
Yeah.
No, absolutely love that guy. Absolutely love that guy. I think, Tims, that is one of your worst questions you've ever asked.
I didn't say I agreed with it, but all I'm saying is they're I think, 11-2 or something like that since he's been injured. We've seen Franz Wagner lead the team since then. But I think what I would say is it's maybe they're not maximising those two players right now when they play together. And if they can do that, the potential they have is more than I think even we imagine.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong about that, Tims. I actually don't think you're wrong about that. They'll be really, really fun to see, won't they? Really fun to see.
Yeah.
Tims, you need to give me your top five in the East. How would you rank them?
I mean, I'll go Celtics one. I think Cavs, like you say, have to be two. But I will put the New York Knicks at three, actually. I'll put them at three. Above the Bucks, above the Magic. And I'll then go for Milwaukee at 4 because I think Giannis has that firepower and we finally see it come together for them. And I think if they can make a move, there's a lot more potential to unlock there.
Yeah.
And I'll have the Magic at 5 for now, which hurts me to say, but I have to put them 5.
Tims, I'm not sure there's any wrong answer in those, is it? As long as you got Boston and Cavs 1 and 2.
Yeah, I think
then,
so.
Then the other three are all so good at the moment, aren't they?
Exactly. But it's been nice to see, because a few weeks ago we were saying how we were really downbeat about the East, weren't we? And I'm looking at the standings now and finally getting a little bit excited about what we could see in the Eastern playoffs.
Yeah, agreed with you, Tims. Hey, Tims, we're gonna get a matchup of it in the Cup. Bucks Magic. Oh, and then the winner of that plays the Knicks.
Oh, wow. Assuming they beat Great Barrier Thieves.
Of course, yeah. Oh, so Tims, we're gonna see how they actually line up at the moment, aren't we?
There we go.
How exciting.
We'll get our answer in real time by next week's show.
Yes, sir. Tims, I want your prediction for the first 4 games in the NBA Cup before we go.
Sounds good. I'll go Thunder. I'll come back to that one. I'll start with, this is really difficult. I'll start with the Warriors beating the Rockets and progressing, and they will play the Thunder in the semifinals. And then I'll have, do we know when Banchero's back? He won't be back for next week, will he?
I don't think so, Tims. I'll have a little Google.
Nope. But I'll actually put the Magic over the Bucks for now in the Cup. And I think the Knicks will beat Trae Young's antics in New York. I'll have the matchups for the semifinals: Thunder Warriors versus the Magic and Knicks.
Wow.
What do you think? Any news on Banchero, Barn?
Tim's no updates to when he's back. I think he's maybe Christmas.
Okay, so maybe. He won't be back for the Cup.
That's what he's saying. That's not what the coaches are saying.
Yeah.
Tim's. Sorry, you have Warriors Thunder and Magic Knicks.
Yeah.
Wow.
But saying that, I think it could very easily be the other 4 teams in the semifinals. It's so hard to call over a one game series. And I'm really struggling with the Thunder as well, because I think the Mavericks, Luka and Kyrie in a one game series have the same effects I was just describing as Steph, and they can just turn it on like few players in the league can. So I'm struggling with that one, actually. Maybe I'll put the Mavericks over the Thunder, and I don't want to upset you before the end of today's podcast as well.
Thank you. That saved our friendship briefly.
Yeah, thank you.
No, Tim's, again, is there a wrong answer here?
No, it's so difficult.
I've obviously got the Mavs to beat the Thunder.
Yeah.
Now, what you say about the one game series, it really rings strong in my mind. Not only because I'm a Mavs fan, all you need is Kyrie and Luka to have one of their games. Obviously, the Thunder have SGA and J-Dub, etc., etc. But I'm not sure their peak is better than Kyrie and Luka.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I do agree. I do agree with you. I think
and again, Warriors playing Rockets, if it was a normal reg season game in the 82, I'd pick the Rockets, Tims. But because it's a winner takes all, I can't go against the Warriors. I really can't. Bucks Magic. I think the Bucks are gonna crush the Magic. As much as I love Franz and how much I've been going on about him all season, I can't see the Bucks losing that. They're on such good form. Knicks Hawks.
You have to take our guy, the Great Barrier Thief, surely.
I think I have to, Tims. That is going to be... Tims, what time are these? I'm actually... I feel like kind of jumping around the room right now.
Yeah, 7 p.m. in the East, so that's a midnight tip-off for UK, Bun.
They're all midnight. Dallas is usually fucking... Sorry.
So the East ones are midnight. And the Western Conference are 2:30 tips.
Hate them.
UK time.
And that stays the same in the Cup.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at these.
Okay, well, I will probably, in that case, I'll try and stay up for the East ones. Tims, both those matchups are just so good. I know Hawks-Knicks might not look amazing on paper because the Knicks are great, but the Hawks have, like we say, Great Barrier Thief, JJ. Trae Young at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that's going to be so good. That's going to be so good.
Yeah, and if the puppy wakes me up early, I'll probably catch the end of both the West games as well.
Well, if the Mavs are playing, I'm sure the puppy will be waking you up. Yeah.
I'll make sure she does, yeah.
But the semi-finals. So hopefully your Mavs can get through. And the semi-finals in the West tips off nice and early, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, which I think is a 9:30 UK tip. So you'll be rooting for your Mavs even more for a nice weekend.
What date? What date?
That's December 14th. That's Saturday night, I believe.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Saturday night. Cool. A week on Saturday.
Lovely. Anyway. No doubt I'll end up having to work and it will ruin my evening.
You need to get your priorities in order because this NBA Cup has been, it's been so good. I'm loving it.
Yeah, me too, Tim. Me too. Shame the Kings not in it because I actually thought they might just like win the NBA Cup every year. I thought it was going to be the LeBron's thing.
Oh dear, it would have been nice, but he needs to do better than shooting 0 of 20 from 3 in his last few games if he wants to do that on a yearly basis.
Just a little bit better, Tim.
Anything more from you this week, Barn?
Tim's amazing take from a man Shumpert this week.
Go on.
Have you watched him in interviews? He's the best interviewer on earth.
He is good, but I don't think I've seen this one recently.
And I don't know how recently it was, but it's usually he talks about LeBron and how good he is and how good those Warriors teams were, etc. He's a very humble guy, says how good everyone is. Now, he had a great take I saw, and I think there was a recent interview because a historical one because it kept flitting between a couple of Shump's interviews.
Yeah.
And he said Steph Curry ruined the game that he enjoyed because of all his three-point shooting, but it wasn't Steph's fault. So he was on about matching up against Steph when he was on the Knicks and when he was on the Cavs. And him and J.R. Smith, obviously on both teams together, they would take it in turns guarding Steph. And Steph would be pulling up from 40 feet and they go, oh, we'll let him have that all day of the week. And you know how good he is at telling stories. And he was like... And then the motherfucker started making them. And we know what Steph's gone and done in the past 10 years after. But he said the reason that doesn't ruin the game, because Steph wasn't no teams, like the Warriors weren't attempting a ridiculous amount of threes back then. What ruined the game, this is what Shump said, and it's one of the best takes I've ever seen on any basketball topic.
Go on.
Steph didn't ruin the game, and Clay is obviously in that conversation too. Those two didn't ruin the game. It was people thinking they were them, chucking up the same amount of threes as Steph and Clay, yeah? But they're not them. They can't shoot like them. They're not making them at as high a rate as them. That's what actually ruined the game.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it and thinking, wow, that is actually one of the best takes I've ever heard. It's not Steph and Clay who chucked up three so everyone else had to. They didn't have to at all. They can't shoot like Steph and Clay. Get your points where you can actually get them. Don't go 0 of 16 from three. Go and drive in the paint. Take a little mid-range fader. Oh, yeah.
Get in the post.
Yeah, exactly, Sims, exactly. What do you think about that, Tim?
I think that's really interesting. And I think we mentioned it on one podcast already this year, but the Raptors are shooting the least threes so far this season, which is, I think, the same or just more than that prime Warriors team are shooting from three less than 10 years ago. I mean, the league has changed so much in that regard. But if you watched the game 15 years ago, it looked like almost a different sport, right?
Yeah, and I can't agree with Shump. It might have been more fun to watch back then, Tim. There was a lot more going on. But also, the reason why the Raptors are shooting a league low and the Warriors were shooting a league high, it's because not everyone was shooting threes.
Yeah.
Like, you had three-point shooters on the team. Not everyone was chucking them up like there was no tomorrow. No bigs were shooting threes, with the exceptions of Dirk, etc., the stretch four guys, but... it's a completely different league to how we see now.
Absolutely. Barn, Dalton connects. He had that that game against the Jazz where he scored 9 threes, right?
Yeah.
Do you think Michael Jordan scored more or less in his entire rookie season from three?
his entire rookie season. Jordan was terrible from three from memory. And they moved the three-point line in for him later on because he probably couldn't shoot from the... I reckon he scored less.
He scored the same. 9 threes on 17% from three in his rookie season as Dalton Knecht scored in one early evening game against the Utah Jazz. I mean,
wow.
That sums up how much this game has changed, right?
Really does, Tim. Really does. Yeah.
I'm not against our guy Shump's opinion on that at all. I think it's actually a really interesting take.
Yeah, no, good, Tim. Good.
But, Ban, I do actually have one more story before we go quickly this week, and it's a little Gilbert Arenas update after discussing him last week.
He's back.
And this is a story that I read this week on Gilbert Arenas, and I can't verify if this is true or not. I'll leave that up to you. But the story is he proposed to his girlfriend with a $400,000 ring. And then they broke up 8 days later. He then made up and faked having a relationship with her for 4 months so he could then switch the ring with a fake version, which he successfully did before she then sued him and lost. Anyway, Arenas came out of that on top. He retrieved his ring. So, all is good in the world of Gilbert Arenas, according to this story, at least.
That is so good, Tim. Yeah. That's so good.
But after we mentioned him on last week's pod, that caught my eye. And it gave me a trouble.
Oh, wow.
Again, we can't verify if it's true or not, but...
It sounds like something he would do, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Tim's, sorry, last quick one for you. I watched a really good video the other day. My stepson, Harry, he watches Jessa. Have you ever heard of Jessa?
Yeah. YouTube, okay. Right?
Well, I don't watch much basketball YouTube, but Jessa seems like a really great guy. He does a Guess the NBA Player series, and it seems like he's done a few now, actually, with NBA players. But the one Harry was watching was... it was just Jessa and his friends who were guessing the NBA player. And they did actually guess the NBA player, but it was really tight. They didn't quite know. It all came down to the fact that he was wearing a really nice chain, like under his thing. Yeah. They were like, oh no, he's got money. He must be the NBA player. And sure enough, he was. And do you know who it was? Have you watched this before?
No, I haven't seen it.
It was Tracy McGrady.
Was it really?
It was so cool, yeah. And it seemed one of them was like the biggest fan of Tracy on the planet, so he was going absolutely crazy. But no, I just thought, what a great thing to do. I thought it was really fun. I'm going to watch the rest of them this week, like the child that I am.
Hey, sounds like your week's in store. You've got the Mavs Cup game, then before that you can smash through some NBA Jita vids. So.
Yeah. Exactly, Tim. Awesome. Oh, and the guy they couldn't choose between T-Mac and this other random guy, turns out the random guy was T-Mac's son. He isn't an NBA player, obviously, but he was the best basketball player out of the rest of them by a mile.
So good.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't quite get the Bronny treatment, maybe, but
no,
that's a shame. But anyway, Bam, I've very much enjoyed talking to you this week on this week's podcast.
Me too, Tim. As always, me too. I think we covered some fun things this week.
For sure. It's been a good week of basketball. Looking forward to the Cup. Looking forward to seeing how your Mavs get on. I hope you have a great week apart from that.
Yeah, man. You too, Tim's. Have a good time in Mallorca, sir.
Thank you, sir. Hope the puppy keeps behaving herself. And thank you, everyone, for watching, listening to this week's pod. And we'll see you at a similar time next week.
Thanks, everyone.